The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Wild Salmon Steve is here. Wild Salmon, have you ever had Nutria? We were talking about that a little earlier, huh?
I've seen a couple of them. But there's something that's interesting about Nutria, or something people need to know, is they're burrowing animals. And so if you get a breeding pair of Nutria and they get a burrow going, they're kind of like any other of that species. Mm-hmm. They multiply very quickly. My son has a guy that he is associated with who lives in Eugene, and the back of their property goes up to an irrigation canal. And the Nutria got in there, and it was causing heck, and the irrigation district couldn't do anything about it because, for some reason, politically or whatever. So this guy bought a 9mm carbine with a suppressor on it, and he would go out there at night, shine a light out there. Nutria eyes are red, and he wiped out the Nutria, and nobody knew what he was doing.
Oh, yeah?
All the neighbors just thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
So they're red eyes, okay, and of course the state wouldn't care because the state is happy that that you're taking these out because of the invasive species and the damage that they do.
Yes, but being Eugene, I mean, it'll save a life, right?
Okay, I suppose. Well, that's why I'm thinking that it has to be sold then as a food source, and then you get progressives all involved in this. Oh, I'm eating like a South American. I am so proud of myself. Aren't I a great person? We have to sell it that way.
You just have to change the name into something kind of like vegan something, or, you know, they're grass-eating animals, so they're vegan or whatever.
Exactly.
Anyway,
yeah. We're converting vegetable matter into good, clean protein. That's it. That's how you do it. You always have to tell them you are eating so clean with Nutria. Not only are you honoring the great South American culture, but you're eating clean. Yeah, I know. I get so irritated when I hear that. Oh, my daughter used to call me up and say, "Dad, I'm changing my diet. I'm eating clean." And I would say, "Were you eating dirty before, Sarah?" They always have a good laugh. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome. Good to have you on.
Bill. Yeah. This is my second call today. This is Jerry.
That's all right, but Jerry. We'll give you a second bite.
I couldn't resist, though. I can tell you for a fact, or at least almost 30 years ago, this was the case, that the Nutria is farm-raised in Ukraine or somewhere over there.
Uh-huh.
And the fur is used to make fur coats.
Now, aren't you married to a Ukrainian?
I was.
You were. Okay, you were. I thought that there was a connection in the past there. So they raised them for coats. Apparently, there's not much market for that here, though, from what I'm reading.
Yeah, I believe I looked this up at one time, and I think, could be wrong, that down in the swamps of Louisiana and places like that.
They do, yeah.
Maybe that's where they're most abundant. I really don't know.
Have you ever eaten one? Because another person who wrote me said that it's very much like a pork, a kind of pork meat.
Well, I haven't, Bill, but, you know, I'm sure if we labeled it keto or organic, that it would be a big seller.
That's all you have to do. Yeah, part of the keto diet. There we go. All right. I love that. Thank you, Jerry the Bull. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Bill, this is Michael Shaw.
Hello, Michael.
So I'm going to solve two problems with one answer here.
All right.
Is to eradicate the Nutria, all we need to do is train or entice the wolf packs who are killing calves to like Nutria as their sweet diet.
Oh. How do you train the wolves out there on the prairie?
I have no idea, Bill.
You know, I'm sure there could be a state grant stream funding deal available to do this, right? Kind of like, instead of the professional arsonist with the, the forest restoration, we're going to burn the forest all winter, that kind of thing. We could have him switch over to training wolves to enjoy nutria. I like that idea.
Yeah, so, we're going to have that funding to pay hunters to go catch or kill off X number of nutria to then take them over and feed them to the wolves to get them to start liking them, and then maybe lead a trail of them back to the swamp area.
Yeah, and then all we have to do is just tell the wolf, listen, taste like pig, and then they'll be fine, right?
That's it.
All right. I like the way you're thinking. Hi, this is Bill. Good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Hey, Bill. Deplorable Patrick here. Am I on with you?
You sure are. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to talk about liberals a little bit. I've got my amazing White Lightning Force for Good Chevy diesel van, and I've got a Trump flag rigged up on the back of this flagpole, and I go out daily and ply the highways and byways throughout the land, and I'm always getting honks and thumbs up from people. It happens over and over all day. But I was on my way home a couple of days ago, and I stopped at a stoplight, and I'm hearing this honking going on over there on my left, and I looked over, and there's this woman. She is flipping me off. I mean, she's really leaning into it.
Oh, wow.
I guess she was trying to get me to change my vote. I don't. Maybe that's her idea of it. But
you were triggering her, apparently.
Yeah. And so anyway, as I raised my finger in response, I had more of a seductive meaning going on there, like smiling and nodding and beckoning, hey. And so she didn't slow her down at all. She's and I'm thinking, man, I'm getting additional notoriety here. This is great. So she's going to change me to a liberal that way, I guess. So here I'm about ready to run to her arms. I don't know what brought me to my senses. I think it was when the light turned green.
Good for you. Good. I'm glad you were able to resist. It does indicate, though, just how unhinged many of them are and how they can't even believe that someone would support this man.
Yeah, it's amazing. And what I find that these liberals do just in every different setting, or these commentators on TV after Trump, what they do is, after his speech, they will try to direct your attention away. They'll say, oh, his speech was brazen and brash, and it was 100 minutes long, which has nothing to do with his policies.
Well, exactly. I mean, I wish that I wouldn't mind them being a little bit shorter myself, because I prefer shorter and more impactful than longer and drawn out. But hey, no, that's the way Trump works. Fine. That's how he does those rallies and everything else. But you know what it really comes down to, what I think they really get upset about, is that when you talk about brash, braggart, this and that and the other, you know what it really all is? He's daddy.
Well,
he's daddy. He's a male. He's an alpha male. Alpha male. Oh, my gosh. Alpha male. Toxic. Ultimately where I think they're coming from. I really do think that, Patrick. I mean, it's just that they are so used to the beta male everywhere in society. They cannot relate to this. And I think it's like rejecting daddy all over again. Daddy issues there in the liberal world. Okay.
I totally agree. But I just want to point out that they will try to divert you off of the main issues and the policies into some detail, some meaningless little sideline. It's like if you're sitting at a restaurant and you get a wonderful meal set before you and you're criticizing the parsley.
There you go. Good point.
Cure or prevent any disease. Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
Brian Boutel joins me. He's the executive director of the Gospel Rescue Mission in Grants Pass. And we want to welcome you back to the program. Brian, good to have you on. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
Brian, I wanted to talk with you because I was kind of irritated beyond belief the other day as I continue to say the way that local media, mostly local television media, tends to portray the challenges of the homelessness situation in Southern Oregon, and especially in Grants Pass, given that it seems to be getting sued all the time, and everything's all, oh. And I'm going to tell you first off, I am very sympathetic to the real human cost and the human destruction and the suffering which has been going on in the homelessness community. But sure. But the way that it, and I know that given that you have rescue mission there and you're helping try to get people back on their street, there's a one-sided way that the story gets told. And I was watching KOBI this week, and there was an article, and I was talking about this yesterday, in which they go up there and they talk with it, and people are upset in the homeless community because Grants Pass Police ended up installing one of those systems that has the blue light on it, and we see them in parking lots in businesses around here in Southern Oregon as merchants are trying to defend their places, and it has cameras up on top of it and a blue light, and there's speakers on it, and the response from the homeless community is, oh my gosh, you know, they don't trust us, and you know, we're being treated. I feel like I'm an animal in a zoo. And another person said at one point, I have, what was one of the responses from one of them? I sent you the story. Yep. And this guy is saying, I have been in these camps, you know, for over a year, for more than a year I've been in here. And I wanted to just blurt out, and I did on the air yesterday. I'm going, you've made a lifestyle choice because after more than a year of being in these homeless encampments in Grants Pass, you haven't done anything or worked on anything to get yourself out of it.
So true.
It makes my teeth hurt, Brian. Okay.
You are singing my song here, Bill. This is such a hard thing to watch, and it's because there's absolutely no journalistic integrity. It's just no one's asking any good questions here. Nobody's asking, you know, anything. I mean, you know, the fact is, you know, again, you know, the guy in the article, Chris Taylor, he's, I guess I can say his name because he said it on, you know,
on camera.
Live,
yeah.
This guy's never once tried to check into the Gospel Rescue Mission, and I know because we actually ask for names of people who try to check in and everything like that. So the guy's never tried to at least, you know, use our facilities to try and find a way out of his scenario. The person that they identified as a female in their video that they did the interview with that identified as, you know, they called him a girl, you know, I happen to know the guy and have been friends with him for a long time. You know, they just don't ask good questions. They don't ask, you know, they're not asking anything, and he says it almost feels like they don't trust us. Well, yeah. I'm sorry. Did you think that you were engendering trust by living lawlessly in our community?
And also, taking many of them taking drugs, stealing in order to take the drugs, leaving the needles behind in the community after they take their drugs, and you know, you're right. We don't trust because there's been no behavior out of the homeless. And let me tell you, when you're drug addicted and semi crazy because of the drug addiction, you don't tend to behave in a very trustworthy manner. And I'm just surprised that that journalists wouldn't bring this up and maybe try to tell a more complete story of this rather than, oh, my gosh, City of Grants Pass, it's being sued. Oh, aren't they mean? Oh, they're making the homeless move here. And it's there's just – and I get it. Maybe it's because everyone in journalism now is 12 years old, and when I was 12 years old, all that mattered were my feelings. You know, it's just my feelings.
This thing, it's like you used to see this whenever it was, because of feminism, it would have this, if a woman said it, she's always right. And we don't want to question any accusation she makes because she's a woman, and which is not. You know, it's not any way to do any kind of justice at all. You tell me that women aren't capable of lying. I think you ought to hold women to, give them the credit of being able to, be deceitful as well as anybody, just as good as men can and everything. And then now we're in this spot where homeless are the new women, in that sense. So they, in the cultural mind. So, They just go, oh, well, there they are. They're all victims. And it is the most absurd thing on the planet. These guys have been spending, years becoming homeless, years getting to the spot where they are, and they're staying there. And it was funny because KDLV ran a shot back, I don't know, right when we were closing down some of the tent camps.
Yeah, wasn't that down in, that was about December of last year. I think they were doing this, and they were focusing on it. And famously, there was one guy in there, I forget his name, but he was crying, and he was, we're not all bad people. And I agree, I'm looking at the humanity, and my heart's tugging here. But knew something about that particular shot that had the guy on Channel 12 doing his, we're not all bad people, as they're being moved away. What was not being shown, Brian, that you knew?
They have this close-up shot on the guy, and he's just sobbing, telling everybody that they're not good, that not everybody's bad people. This shot was taken at 7:30 in the morning, and they got it zoomed up on him so close because one of the things they're trying to do is catch his tears. But the other thing they're trying to do is they're trying to not show that he's got a guy on either side of him actually holding him up because he's too drunk to stand. He's too drunk to stand at 7:30 in the morning. And these guys, the journalists, know it. They can see it right there. But they realize that the money shot, the thing that's going to continue to drive their narrative that they're all a bunch of homeless people that are victims of circumstance, that's the thing that if we can just isolate everybody else and just get a story outside of its context, we can actually make a case for they're all poor victims. And that's what they're doing in every single one of these situations you hear. They go in and they zoom on a portion of the story without actually addressing the actual story. So they only want the portion of the story that justifies their narrative. Last year I had every major news organization, every major legacy media news organization in the country, and a bunch from around the world that all came marching through the Gospel Rescue Mission for tours and all this kind of stuff because obviously we had no homeless shelter. They've been reporting we had no homeless shelter in Grants Pass. And so here's everyone to come to see the cruel, bad place, the Gospel Rescue Mission. And they walk through and they all get tours and they all get to talk with us and visit with us, get along, 40-minute conversations on camera and all this kind of stuff. They narrow it down to a 3-minute clip, some kind of a narrative that just ends up going, yep, man, this guy's got a lot of draconian rules. That's all it is.
They have a lot of draconian rules. In other words, we don't want you stealing. We don't want you raping. We don't want you taking drugs. We don't want you drinking yourself to death. And in other words, you have to work. And then, but yet, they focus on that one guy on the Kobe story. And like I said, I understand they're going for the money shots, but it's journalistic malpractice when you're talking about a situation that we're looking at right now in Southern
America.
Well,
it's not journalism. All it is is context opinion pieces. It by far leaves the the broader scope of genuine journalism, which is meant to get the whole truth out and let the viewer decide, get them into, or get the listener to decide. And this is just not what's been happening for a long, long time. I've never seen it so obscenely done as I have around the topic of homelessness, particularly in the last 5 years. It has just been it's really an obscenity. And you know, Channel 5 is one of the worst on this. Channel 5 and both Channel 5 and Channel 12, they're terrible at this kind of stuff. And they just make hit pieces that are there to grab a headline, to get lots of viewers, and really only viewers from one persuasion. They're not trying to tell the truth, and this is a really sad thing.
But this is a very serious issue, and it has city officials everywhere running scared away from this. Yeah. That, oh my gosh, we can't enforce rules on this, even though the Supreme Court decision last year said that we're able to.
You had a mandate from the public. You had a mandate from the voters. You had a Supreme Court victory set in your hands to help every city in the country, not just your own. And instead of taking leadership, you guys are just cowering because the media pressure and the public opinion pressure that when these guys know how to rally a group and they know how to scare people with lawsuits and they know how to do all this stuff. The fact is that the citizenry, if you by and large, looks and says, no, this needs to stop. It's just that you've got a loud minority who's going out there and trying to frame you all as cruel and heartless. And that takes a lot of nerve to stand up under that. And man, boy, do I know, because last year we got beat up to no end. And it just, you know, you're either going to stand or you're going to crumble. And we decided to stand. And we'll be here long after it's fashionable anymore. We'll continue to help people out of homelessness and to get them free from these things. I mean, we do more for drug and alcohol recovery and all kinds of getting people into job placement and getting them into homes. We do more than that than any other organization I know of.
Now, Brian, I'm going to cut to the chase here. Is the real problem with Gospel Rescue Mission, and believe me, I'm engaging in hyperbole when I say this.
Sure.
All right. Sure. Is the real problem with the success of the Gospel Rescue Mission is because you have the Jesus virus? You know, I'm looking at this from the way that a very progressive, hard left state control grid would tend to look at you.
It is. Yep. I think you nailed it. I mean, When they say the reason that they're pushing low barrier has there's two barriers that they're concerned with, and even one they're starting to find their way around. The first barrier is we require what they call a barrier. We require sobriety to come in here. We require, you know, and you don't even have to come in sober. You just have to stay sober once you're here.
Right.
But you know, a requirement of sobriety is one of the things that makes you now, they consider that a barrier. The second is what they call program participation, but really it's not any old program participation. What it is that's their way of getting around not saying religious participation. And really, it's not, you know, what we're not even doing is asking for religious participation. We do all kinds of things religiously. Everybody does. You get up at the same time religiously. You do things.
But the state's religion seems to be keeping people addicted and drunk.
Oh, yeah. It is, and here's the reason why, because there is a gob of money associated with it. I mean, my goodness, ask drug and alcohol treatment people to provide for you the actual numbers of how many people actually leave drugs and alcohol because of their treatment. And they're going to hide those numbers forever. And the reason is because the numbers are abysmal. It's not that they don't have any. Any success is good success. The problem is when you look at the numbers compared to the dollars spent, now we have a problem. You know, there is billions of dollars. This is a billion-dollar industry, a multi-billion-dollar industry, maybe nationwide a trillion-dollar industry, and it's just coming in and doing all this. What they know is that what would stop that is the gospel, is Christianity. Because Christians actually believe these crazy things like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, this kind of stuff. We believe this kind of stuff, and they look and go, oh, yeah, sure, we believe that. But they take it, they do everything they do from your tax dollars, which you and I don't have a say in whether or not they, what they do with it, how they do it with it, and there's no accountability for what they do with those tax dollars. So when they put out a 10-year plan to end homelessness, and in 5 years, homelessness has doubled in our state and our county, and then they just pull the stuff and hide it, but they have taken hundreds of millions of dollars because of that. That's how they acquired it, because we produced a 10-year plan to end homelessness. Not only did they not end homelessness, they made it worse. And when you go, hey, I would like my money back, they go, oh, what? What money? Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have anything. Yeah. And there's no way for the taxpayer to get that back. On the other hand, if you don't like the work of the Gospel Rescue Mission, just don't pay us. It's okay. If you like the work of the Gospel Rescue Mission, support us. It's the kind of thing, if you like what we do, then by golly, go online and support us. But, you know, or write us a check or whatever you want to do. But you don't have to, because I'm not, I don't have the ability to take it from you. And even if I did, I wouldn't. It's not the right thing to do.
Brian Botell is the executive director of the Gospel Rescue Mission. And our conversation got started here, Brian, because, you know, I was watching the television news reports in this particular case, and both of our television stations here in Southern Oregon are guilty of this, of telling the homelessness story from one direction and one direction only. And, yep. And kind of, in many ways, I think, patronizing or being patronizing towards the homelessness, that they have no contribution to this. There is nothing that they themselves have done that might have kept them in this miserable condition, and that it's only because there's just a lack of low barrier shelter. Right. I mean, and what can be done about this? Because I would like to persuade our local media to be more honest and complete in the story about the homelessness. And I don't know, is there a possibility that there just isn't enough time to do this? Because I know that staffs are thin everywhere you look. Or is this actually something that the news media is actually trying to push actively? What is your opinion about that?
I honestly think they have occasionally come out and given a short piece, you know, and a little puff piece about us here and there. You know, if we have our garden doing really good, they'll come out and tell a story about our garden or whatever. They tell us these little good things, but they flip it, and when you do things like this about the homeless issue, they just simply, they'll come out, talk to you, they'll spend an hour with you. They'll give you a minute and a half of actual airtime, and it's always a slant. I had one time, I had a guy a few years back, I had a guy in a dress come up to our women's house, and I'm not kidding, he's got like 5 o'clock shadow, you know, on steroids, and he walks up to our women's shelter, and he rings the doorbell and says, yeah, I need a place to stay. And they say, well, the men's section side's over there. And he goes, but I identify as a woman. And they go, well, sorry, you can still go to the men's side. And he marches right across the street and goes over to this little park that's right across the street from us, calls Channel 5. Channel 5's down here in a heartbeat, and they're panting. They couldn't get here fast enough. And the story was, Gospel Rescue Mission kicks transgender woman to the curb. And I'm going, there is no way I am going to – I've got a house full of women that have all been victimized.
There's no way that you could let a biological dude into the women's shelter in these –
Which never happened.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And then what's the liability if the biological dude ends up screwing around and raping a woman there? Happens in the prisons all the time with their policy.
I don't even worry about the liability. I'm concerned about the ladies. And,
well, of course you are.
My thing is I am not going to let one more man get in there and harm them. It's just not going to happen. And if that means we're going to go to jail, I look good in orange, and I'll do a. I haven't done a jail ministry yet, but I'm game for that if that's what needs to happen. I'll go there for those gals. Somebody's got to stand up and protect them. And anyways, these guys, the reporting is so biased and so one-sided when it comes to things like this. It's just absurd and obscene. And we're just, you know, there's no reason for us to be living in this upside down clown world thing. And somebody's got to eventually stand up and say, hey, you know what? The emperor has no clothes here. And we're just not going to bow to that. It's not going to happen. And
do you think the city of Grants Pass, though, has the guts to be able to do that? Because Grants Pass has been singled out. It's obvious that it's been singled out here. A political hit.
Yeah, I don't. I hope that they do. I mean, right now it's looking kind of iffy. I know all the people that are in, you know, on the city council and mayor and everything, and they're all fine people. But you know, the threat of lawsuit and just the unrelenting. I mean, the hard left is really unrelenting on this. It's a hard thing to stand up under, and I don't know. You know, I'm hoping they'll have courage. I think that there's some internal, the possibility that there's some internal people, maybe in city staff and management, that are really sympathetic to kind of, this whole idea that they're all victims and we have to create some kind of thing for, I just keep telling them, look, the only way that you guys can do this, you have to shut down. You have to shut down the entire encampment thing, entirely. Because the minute that you have one, you're going to get criticized for having it wrong, for doing it the wrong way. And I know all about that. You know, I'm constantly criticized. It's like pulling people out of a burning building, and there's people standing across the street criticizing you for carrying them wrong. You know, and everything, but you're the one that ran in and did the work, and this is what's happening, and as long as the city is trying to do something, they're going to get criticized for how they do it, and everything, and that's there's just no way around that. I'm in a business where that's all we've done. We've been criticized from day one, and we'll probably be criticized for, you know, until the end of time, and it's okay. We're used to it. But for our city officials, I'll tell you, it's a city council meeting can really feel like torches and pitchforks and a real mob, and it's a little intimidating. So I'm hoping that we'll see some courage over time in this. And of course, you know, the fear of a lawsuit. Lawsuits are anything. There's nothing that can stop you from being sued. What you're hoping is that you build your case in such a way that you don't lose when you're sued. And I think that just the fear of lawsuit is really powerful right now for the city, and I understand that.
All right. Brian Boutel, once again, Executive Director of the Gospel Rescue Mission in Grants Pass. And, you know, you have the media narrative, which is spun by local media and out-of-our-area media in here.
Yeah,
and I think it's up to us to also get in touch with the local media and persuade them, and actually just demand a fairer treatment of the way this, you know, the complete story, not just, oh, isn't this sad? People are being asked to move along. Oh, isn't this sad? People aren't being trusted, which is why they have, going back to the story this week in which. Oh my goodness! There's a blue light there, and the cameras there, and people are being monitored. It's like, yeah, because we have people that kill each other in these homeless encampments. It happened in Riverside Park a few months ago.
The news media should have said, hey, look at what they're doing for the safety of the people in the camps. You know, they put up these cameras and because they're trying to catch people who are doing harm to these other to one another. And they've gone to this extra expense to put out and pay attention to all of this. Good job, you know, police department for at least trying something. And that camera is a whole lot cheaper. That big camera setup's a whole lot cheaper than having an actual officer posted there, a live officer posted there 24/7, while there's other crimes being done in town. You know, attaboy, City of Grants Pass, way to go. And instead, that's not what they did. It was just a biased hit piece, and it just felt very wrong. And I'm glad to hear that somebody else was upset about it.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that, too. Hey, Brian, I appreciate your take on it, and you're welcome back anytime. But thanks for being available, because I was so irritated as I'm looking at that. And then the KDRV piece that you had mentioned earlier. Well, we're not all bad people. Yeah. Hey, listen, I know you're a hurting soul, but you are drunk as a skunk at 7 in the morning. What part of that is going to guarantee that you can't work, you can't have a home, and even if we did give you a home, you wouldn't take care of it? I mean, it just makes my teeth hurt, Brian, once again, you know?
It's the story of my life right now, buddy. I appreciate that. You know, hey, if anybody wants to find out, if I can give a shameless plug here, if anybody wants to hear what's going on from the perspective of Gospel Rescue Mission, you should check out our website. And if it's okay, I just throw that out there.
Please, what's your website there? Go ahead.
GrantsPassMission.org. We've got a ton of information up. GrantsPassMission.org. Just check out the solutions tab. And we talk about this kind of stuff all the time.
Brian, a pleasure. Thanks for coming back on, okay? Be well.
You got it.
All right.
Take care.
Quarter before 9, this is the Bill Meyer Show.
The soil around your home is a lot like a sponge. It expands when it's wet and contracts when it's dry. Over time, all that movement can damage your foundation. Your house starts sending warning signs like cracks, uneven floors, and sticking doors and windows. Terra Firma can stop the cycle. Our experts will find the source of the problem and provide permanent solutions to make your foundation safe and solid again. So if you suspect your foundation has issues, don't wait for things to get worse. Call Terra Firma today for a free evaluation.
At Grover Electric and Plumbing, service is everything. To back it up, this comment from one of our Grover customers in Vancouver.
Had a water pressure problem with our kitchen faucet. Visiting Grover, they showed us how to replace the small screen regulator that was clogged. The good news is, we didn't have to call or pay for a plumber. Thanks, Grover.
This from a Grants Pass customer.
After 3 days working on my shower with no luck, went to Grover, explaining the problem. Turned out to be no problem at all. Just had the wrong part. Got the right part and was on my way.
From Twin Falls, this comment.
I'm very inexperienced, especially in electrical things. At Grover, they not only had exactly what I needed for the project I was working on, but had the parts and the know-how to show me how to make it work. You just gotta love that Grover service.
If this sounds like the kind of customer service you're looking for, welcome to Grover.
When you shop Grover, your worries are over.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated in the best hearing aids of 2024 by USA Today, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, just $189.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 500,000 happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Welcome to Dustin Curbs Parking Lot Maintenance, where exceptional parking lot maintenance services are provided to Southern Oregon. From lot sweeping to construction cleanup, pressure washing to snow plowing and de-icing, Dustin Curbs ensures properties remain in top condition year-round. Recognized as the gold medalist of Southern Oregon in 2023, Dustin Curbs is trusted to deliver top quality service. Visit DustinCurb.com to make an appointment and keep your parking lot safe, clean, and inviting. That's DustinCurb.com.
Matt here with the Josephine County Republican Party. It's time for patriots to unite. Advance tickets are available for our annual Patriots Conference on March 15th at the Josephine County Fairgrounds in the Floral Building. Outstanding speakers include radio talk show host Bill Meyer, Take Back Our School's Dynamo Karen England from Tennessee, Dr. Robert Marbot, advisor to Donald Trump on homelessness and fentanyl issues, attorney Steve Jonkas, discussing legal issues in Oregon such as the fire map, SB 762, and election integrity, and Reverend Nathan French presenting A New Beginning for Our Nation. Senator Noah Robinson, Representatives Wayne Yunker and Alex Skarlatos, Commissioners Ron Smith and Chris Barnett, and Mayor Clint Scherf will speak. This will be an epic event from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on March 15th. To avoid lines at the door, call 541-295-8100 for tickets or visit the Republican Party office in Grants Pass at 513 North S 6th Street across from the courthouse. That's 541-295-8100.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
That was a pretty heavy-duty conversation with Brian Botell from the Gospel Rescue Mission. So I need just a quick palate cleanser with a dad joke, and then we'll get right back to it, okay? So we kind of, like I said, after watching media portrayals of the homelessness situation here in Southern Oregon, it makes my teeth hurt. So dad jokes of the day are sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. And today's bad joke from Michael. Bill, what's a German word for bra? Holds him from flopping. So there's our... Steve's laughing. Scuba over there. Holds him from flopping. He said, is that innocent enough? That'll work. That's a... I love that dad joke. And if you have a better one, submit it over at twodogsfab.com. By the way, Two Dogs Fabricating has built their business on custom fabricating. You have a unique trailer or flatbed in mind? Two Dogs will design and build and have you on the road in just a few weeks. Two Dogs Fab on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Okay, all right. Let me go back to the phones here. Todd is... Let me go to Rembrandt first. Bill, how you doing, Bill? Go ahead, and then I'll get to Todd. Go ahead.
Hi, Bill. It's Rembrandt, and yep. I just wanted to thank you for that interview with Brian Botell.
You're welcome.
Great, spot on. And I've had a pebble in my shoe, a rock in my helmet, actually, for a number of years with the local channels. We lost Channel 10 News completely, and the other two are they're so in the tank for the liberal Oregon State agenda that they are not willing to take a look at both sides. And I've called them. I know Brian said to call the news. I've called them, and it doesn't do any good. And their on-air talent is really lacking. You take a look at what it used to be in the old days. I've lived here now for 50 years, and it's really a shame what has happened to our local news. We in the Valley deserve to hear better commentary on the local issues, and they're really lacking in that.
And the thing is, I understand why the news crews on 12 and 5 want to come and cover this story, because there's a real heart-centered, because, you know, you look at these people suffering and miserable in their addiction, and but they're not all addicted, right? And the problems in which some people find themselves, bankrupted by medical debt, and there's all sorts of other things, that's real too. And I don't want to soft pedal it, but when you have the drug addiction and the mental illness all combined, and we're told that the only thing that you can focus on is, aren't people being mean to them? At some point, you have to get clean and straight, or you're never going to get off the street. It just won't happen. And it's
true, Bill. And you have to look beyond the heartstrings and the pulling and the love and the crying, and take a look at the agenda that they actually have, which is a political, a socialist agenda, and also the fact that there's a lot of money to be had behind this. Some of the NGOs and nonprofits in this valley, I'd like to have an accounting of where they get their money, who's funding them, and what the true agenda is. Even though they pull the heartstrings, how much of that money is actually going to help the people in Jackson County?
And also, how effective has your program been? Now, Stab and Wagon is an example, which hands out the needles. One of the NGOs that gets the, I believe it got a $1.5 million grant to continue this. All right. Well, how is handing out the needles to the homelessness community? How is that helping them get not to be homeless? And it would strike me as more enabling behavior, I guess, is what we're talking about. And that seems to be...
I'm hoping that we're heading in a new direction nationally. And I hope local is always behind the power curve. And I'm hoping that locally we can pick up on some of that momentum and move forward with an agenda that helps Oregon as it was when I moved here in 1968.
All right.
Los Angeles, because I saw the debris that was happening down there. And it's happening here again now, in a place that I really love. And so it's really a shame. So that's my two cents. And I thank you for being on the air, by the way, and having some great commentary.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let me go to Todd. Todd's in Central Point. Hello, Todd. You have a take on this? Go ahead.
Good morning. Following on to the last gentleman and the gentleman from Gospel Mission, the $1.5 million to Stab and Wagon, Max's mission, and I just was watching KOBI. They were lauding, oh my gosh, Addiction Recovery Center is building a 25-bed place on East Main where Crater Lake Avenue hits. Oh, great. Another attraction. Again, we're enabling. If you build it, they will come. So I look back, where are they getting their funding? Oh, couple of months ago, Jackson County approves $242,000 contract with Addiction Recovery Center. So
now, to be fair, though, when we're dealing with people who are addicted, an addiction recovery type situation would seem to be in order, would it not be? Or am I wrong about that?
If there's accountability. But, you know, I haven't even heard, going back to Stabenwagon, whatever happened with the court case with Melissa Jones, who was interfering with the police that were trying to arrest somebody, whatever happened to that? You hear about that?
I vaguely recall. I think, was it where the charges dropped something? Not much happened, from what I understand, from what I remember.
Oh, I was cleaning up my desktop, and I found an old interview you did a couple of years ago with Mary Thoreau from beyondhomeless.org from San Francisco. That was a brilliant interview, and I really encourage you to maybe interview her again. She was a great resource. And I have a bad joke, if you want it.
Sure, why not? Another bad dad joke. Go ahead.
Yeah, I worked at parks that all had to be kid-friendly, and they love pirate jokes. Bill, where do pirates like to eat?
I don't know where.
Arby's. Now, where, Bill, what's a pirate's favorite letter in the alphabet?
I don't know.
Oh, you're supposed to say R.
R.
No, it be the C.
It be, okay. That's too funny. Thank you. And thanks for putting a smile on my face, okay? All right.
Bye.
All right. I'm going to clear the lines right now, and we're going to do the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. No dad jokes in that, but we are going to give you a $20 gift certificate if you end up winning this. And a great conversation we're going to have with this great question, I think. And we're actually going to be talking about poetry. Poetry in the Diner 62 quiz. And you can go out there and get yourself a couple of pork chops or clam chowder Friday. That's on special today. They always make that. Your lunch destination is just a wonderful food. You know you're going to like that. 770-563-3770-KMED. Let's play that next.
There's been a crew of roofers out there for nearly three decades.
28 years to be exact, son.
Their mission? To terminate old roofs and replace them with bold, enduring new ones.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
Their purpose? To prevent structural chaos and decimation.
I don't care if we're running out of roofing nails. Find some!
Their experience follows them everywhere. A constant, like a shadow.
We're going to need continuous flashing on that ridge. That's not negotiable.
This season, Mother Nature is upping the ante, and Fontana Roofing will see that and go all in.
Hold the line. Hold the line. Wait for it. Wait. Ladders up! Go, go, go!
The Fontana Roofing team stands between you and the gathering storm.
Ooh-wee! I love the smell of bent metal in the morning.
Your personal journey of epic building security starts at FontanaRoofingServices.com.
One of each, K4 VIN 016551, MSRP 24145, Telluride VIN 615524, MSRP 4270, 5699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/25.
Get up and go to Kia Medford, where payments are down to just $159 a month. Save on our huge selection of new Kias, like the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS. Only $159. $59 a month lease, or a new 2025 Kia Telluride S. Now, $239 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't miss K4s, $159 a month, or Telluride's $239. Get up and go to Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
8:58 and change. KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. Diner 62 Real American Quiz. And remember, half ham special, 11:15, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9. You're running there pretty quickly during the weekdays, all right? Now then, let me go to Jerry. Hello, Jerry. How you doing today?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm well. Today in history, it's March 7th, 1923. Robert Frost's Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening is published. New Republic publishes Robert Frost's poem. And now this poem starts with the famous line, "Whose woods these are, I think I know." His house is in the village, though. Anyway, it introduced millions of American students to poetry. And like most of Frost's poetry, Stopping by Woods adopts the tone of simple New England farmer contemplating an everyday sight. And in his later life, Robert Frost published books, taught and lectured at Amherst, University of Michigan, Harvard, and Dartmouth, and read his poetry at the inauguration of President Kennedy. He also endured personal tragedy, Jerry, when a son died by suicide, a daughter had a mental breakdown. Although Frost never graduated from a university, he collected 44 honorary degrees before he died in 1963. Now, for the win today, Jerry, where was Robert Frost born? Was it A, California? B, England? Was it C, the Bahamas? D, New Hampshire? Or E, South Africa? It's one of those five.
Wow. Frost would be in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. It makes so much sense, right? No,
it wasn't.
It made too much sense. I'm sorry. Let me go to Tom. Hello, Tom. Was not New Hampshire. Robert Frost born in California, England, the Bahamas, or South Africa? What do you say?
I'll guess England.
England. Was it England? No, it wasn't England either. Sorry. Okay. Let me go to the next one here. Hi. Hello, Jenny.
Yes, it's Jenny. As long as you don't make me eat Nutra at that cafe.
All right, fine. California, Bahamas, or South Africa? Where was Robert Frost born?
California.
Believe it or not, yeah, you're right.
You're a winner!
You know, he sounded like someone that would have been from New England, but absolutely from California. And just an interesting story. I don't have time to tell the whole story today, but yeah, you wouldn't have thought he was from California for sure, but we're going to send you to Diner 62. No Nutria on the menu, okay?
Just want to make like chicken, I hear.
Okay, well, pork is what someone else told me, right?
Okay.
Hang on, Jenny. But anyway, be well. Great weekend. We'll talk again tomorrow, okay? Or Monday.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long time and for good reason. Blue Star Gas employees live, play, and volunteer here in the Rogue Valley and truly care about their customers. As a customer, you can count on Blue Star Gas to provide excellent service for decades and generations to come. For more information, visit BlueStarGas.com. That's BlueStarGas.com.
When it comes right down to it, when we buy things, we want the best products, at the best prices, and the best service. Of course, sellers always try to tell you that they're the best. Hughes Lumber has been selling lumber products for over 40 years in the Rogue Valley. So if you want to really know who has the best lumber deals, just ask a customer of Hughes Lumber. In Medford, on Crater Lake Highway, the customer's favorite choice.
Get your team together and jump into an icy outdoor pool for a great cause at the Southern Oregon Polar Plunge for Special Olympics Oregon. Jump out of your comfort zone and into the chilly water to benefit athletes with intellectual disabilities. It's cold enough. Are you bold enough to support these athletes? Join us this Saturday, March 8th. The fun starts with a warm-up 5K run at 9:30 and the plunge at 11 a.m. at the Rogue Valley Country Club in Medford. Register your team, volunteer, or skip the dip and donate at soor.org/soplunge.
Find furniture, clothes, books, electronics, toys, tools, sporting goods, collectibles, and more at the Jacksonville Presbyterian Church Mexico Mission Yard Sale. Friday and Saturday, March 14th and 15th at 425 Middle Street in Jacksonville. Proceeds benefit the high school group's annual trip to build homes and provide hope for families in Mexico. Community donated items can be dropped off at the church on Wednesday, March 12th only. Whether you volunteer, donate, shop, or pray, thank you, and we'll see you at the sale.
Does Dust Up Minting the Penny? What becomes of those penny press machines?
Pennies are